The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander from San Francisco this week once again. Kelly Bidlin back in Vegas. Of course, next week, the All-Star break in Major League Baseball. Kelly, what's the story next week? Is it you and Dustin in there next
week? Yes, myself and Dustin, the Swede back in the chair. That's right.
Sure, you guys will be betting on the home run derby.
Oh, of course. Yeah, always throw a few bucks down on that. It's like the 3-point contest. Yeah, grab a couple guys, have fun.
You know, you got to get our guy Jared Smith does that home run derby deep dive. You know his whole deep dive on that.
The pitching breakdowns, right?
He does the whole thing. Yeah. Just look at me like suggesting on air who you guys should have on it.
By the way, Jared on for deep, sure. I haven't talked to him in a while, actually.
Speaking of deep dive, he is the co-host of the Deep Dive podcast, which he does with Andy Molitor. And of course, he's also the co-host of NBC Sports Bet the Edge, which he does with Jay Croucher. He's really the straw that stirs the drink. Apologies, Andy. I didn't mean it. I'm just saying it to Drew right now. Apologies to you. It's Drew Dinsick, everybody, at @whale_capper. You can follow him on Twitter. Drew, good morning, sir.
How are you guys?
Doing very well. Before I let people know what you were excited about on the break, do you have any more, do you have any tennis left today?
Osaka for sure. Oh, are you against me there? Are you on Mukula?
No. We're together.
Okay. All right. Yes. Yeah. Naomi Osaka. I think she wins this tournament. I know that, it's going to be a very, this is going to be a tough matchup. Osaka obviously drew, Mukova in the Bad Homburg final, where she was losing badly and retired, and that was a little bit of a eyebrow raiser at the time of what's her form going to look like when she gets to Wimbledon. Her form has looked spectacular, and I don't really know what was happening in that final. As much as you kind of want to believe it was precautionary, like she didn't want to kind of just fire all of those bullets and force her way back into that match and put her Wimbledon in jeopardy. So she just threw the white flag up but the quality of play that we saw from her against Sabalenka was the highest quality of play we've seen from any woman in this tournament by margin. Coco Gauff has come through to this point in the semifinals, largely through endurance and just kind of grinding out these matches. Her serve is looking slightly better, but boy, oh boy, if she's going to give double fault free points to Osaka in a potential semifinal matchup, I think she is in deep trouble. So Osaka, I think, comes through and is ultimately your winner. In the futures pool right now, I don't think Coco Gauff has shortened enough. The way I see this playing out, and then a lot of it is contingent on Osaka winning this match, but if Osaka Gauff is your top half semifinal at Wimbledon on the women's side, that's effectively your final. I don't think any of the four women on the bottom realistically go toe-to-toe with either Osaka or Gauff in a final. I'm happy for Noskova finally having a breakthrough. I could watch Marta Kostyuk play tennis any day of the week. Absolutely. it's a lovely, a lovely, style
viewing
of play,
experience,
Yes. Sure. She plays with grace and has awesome shot making. I hope she makes the final, but I think any of the four women on the bottom, getting to a Wimbledon final is a victory, and they would be healthy underdogs, in my opinion, to Osaka or Gauff or even Mukova. So, I think pretty amazing that here we are. I had forgotten Osaka's run in the U.S. Open last year. That was my biggest stake, and she made it to the semifinals, losing to Anna Samova. And so I just kind of put it out of mind that she was that close last year. And this has come out of absolutely nowhere. I mean, Osaka was never a natural surfaces player. She was always a hard court specialist. And, all of a sudden she's playing well on clay. She's playing well on grass. She's, obviously has, loads of confidence in her game right now. So, it'll be cool to see her back, potentially in the winner's circle, at the slam level. And, her price for the U.S. Open has got to get nuked after this also, I would assume.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we are aligned today on Osaka. What could go wrong, as they say, Drew? last question on this, though, because I am again, tennis hardos are interested in this, so I will ask. Pre-Iga, right? Yeah. Naomi Osaka, for those who missed it, she won the U.S. Open in 2018. She wins the Australian Open in 2019. She wins the U.S. Open in 2020. She wins the Australian Open in 2021. At that point, she had four slams. Ex-Ash Barty, she's the girl, right? She's the one who is dominating, but it was all hard court wins. And as you point out, now there's a lot of evidence that it's that she's an all court player. If she ends up winning this tournament, it'll be her fifth slam, one shy of Iga among current players. Does it cement her in just historically in a way that otherwise clearly would not be the case? But like, will you think of her dramatically differently if she wins this?
I will not, but the world will. She's a global icon, period. Like, winning or not, like, she is on the tip of the tongue of anyone who is sort of a casual. You know, her ability to break through at a cultural level with her fashion choices and her, you know, just her celebrity, I think kind of puts her on a tier above most of the other women on tour. Sabalenka is maybe the only other one who kind of threatens as far as being a cultural icon, I would say. Coco a little bit. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Certainly in America, maybe not on the global stage. But but, you know, by and large, she took the torch from Serena. You know, the torch was passed in that U.S. Open final, which she won. And, you know, she's carried it, I think, as sort of the face of women's tennis for those who aren't tennis hardos. And I think that, you know, a Wimbledon title, it's gravy in terms of my impression of her as far as her being a player. It's like, wow, she matured into a player who could win at this level when the tour is more talented now by a margin than it was at the time when
hugely
right. Like the Serena comeback just kind of reminded you of that. Like, you know, back in the day when Serena was winning slams, it's not to say that she wasn't clearly the best player on the women's tour. She was, but the quality of competition was not even close. And this is now a kind of a new world of, you know, a lot of very, very talented women in every one of these slams. And for Osaka to come through and win on a natural surface, which she's never done, would be, it would be very cool. But it's, for me, at least, it's gravy because, you know, I think her peak was still in that time when she was, you know, reeling off, hard court slams. Like, it felt like nobody was going to touch her at that time. And I would not rate her currently, at that same level. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, you know, maybe if she, you know, kind of moonwalks through the U.S. Open draw, I'll have to reevaluate, but, I would still kind of put her in like squarely in the top 10, fringes of the top five for me, as far as a neutral rating.
Sinner still too short. Now he's in the semis. Would you still bet him to win this?
I would. I'm against Zverev today, by the way. I bet on Jiří Lehečka before the match started. I thought I was drawing dead until we get the the carryover overnight, and Lehečka came out with significantly more purpose today, which is a huge relief because I thought that I was drawing dead there. I think the potential price between Sinner and Djokovic in the semifinals, that would make Sinner about minus 600, and potential price of Sinner versus the worst case, which would be Zverev in the final, I would make Sinner minus 450. So I carry through and still am well ahead of a minus 175 to win price on Sinner. And I honestly, like, I haven't adjusted my numbers much, but he is not necessarily playing that well. Like, this is not like, are you watching this? Are you seeing how well he's playing? He's not playing well, but it doesn't matter. Like, his serve in particular, his ability to generate aces has kept him completely out of trouble in this entire, you know, in this tournament so far. If he's hitting an ace percentage of 20% clip, like, you're not breaking his serve. And I mean, Djokovic is, I think, pretty unconvincingly to this point as well, at least for me. And I think Sinner is going to take him apart, in the semifinals. And I think Sinner probably plays Zverev in the finals, but surely could be, Jiří Lehečka. Either way, if Zverev goes down, That tips the scales in favor of Sinner title. If Djokovic goes down today, which he could, that tips the scales in Sinner direction as well. So if you just, you know, can find your way into a prediction market type of, you know, access to Sinner to win the title, you're getting a good bet, in my opinion.
Care to share with everybody what you were so excited about on the break? And is there a bet involved in any of this for us?
Tour de France is on, guys. You want a little update here. We are at stage four. The Tour de France started in Spain this year. The Grand Depart was in Barcelona. They did a little team time trial opening stage. Jonas Vingegaard's team was ultimately victorious there. So he took the yellow jersey to start out with. And then the greatest cyclist of our generation and the most famous athlete in Slovenia, more famous than Luka Doncic.
Wow.
Cyclist Tadej Pogacar is... you know, he rides for Team UAE UAE Emirates. I forget the name of the team. But either way, his team wins stage two and that he specifically just completely cycled away from Vingegaard in stage three, which was a mountaintop finish. He has shown he is in peak form. He now has the yellow jersey. And I think he wins his fifth Tour de France over the next fortnight. So excited about that. And it's going to be a grueling Tour de France this year. They put together a course that is just going to absolutely break these athletes. There is like 6 days of mountain riding to start out, so a lot of the sprinters, a lot of the helpers are going to crash out of this thing early, and we're gonna be left with truly the men, and Tade's the best.
Drew could have made all that up. We don't know. More with you.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Today is the final day. For just $299, you get two full years of VSiN Pro access. That's nearly 70% off the regular monthly price. You'll get our NFL season betting guide, daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and every betting guide, season preview, and VSiN Pro feature that we release over the next 2 years. But you got to act fast. Today is the final day. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe right now to lock in 2 years of VSiN Pro for just $299. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Drew Dinsick, kind enough to join us for a second segment here. Whale_Capper is where you can follow him on Twitter. Deep Dive Podcast, NBC Sports Bet the Edge. I want to get your World Cup thoughts, obviously, but before we move on from that, you made the outlandish remark that Luka Doncic is not the most famous athlete in Slovenia.
Not the before second the break. Most famous.
And now off air, you upgraded that, or I said downgraded it, I should say, to the third most famous athlete in Slovenia. Who is number, first of all, give us the pecking order again. 1, 2, and then Luka.
So basically, I would say, don't confuse this with worldwide fame, right? Luka Doncic is the most famous Slovenian athlete on the world stage. But in Slovenia, number one, they care about cycling. And number two, they care about winning the Tour de France 4 times in 6 years, which is what Tadej Pogacar has done. And he's about to make it 5 and 7. So he has the most kind of local fame within Slovenia. And the second most is, Slovenian professional rock climber Janja Garnbret. She stands alone as the most gold medals won of any Slovenian summer athlete, with back to back wins in sport climbing in the Olympics. She's broadly understood to be the greatest women's sports climber of all time. Some would say the greatest sports climber of all time, period.
Wow. Some might say that. And Pogacar to win the Tour de France, what's the price on that right now for us?
I think you can still find it in like the 80% range. My fare on it is kind of north of minus five. I mean, the only thing that's stopping him is a crash, and I don't, you know, he never crashes. So I'm not really, I have that as a very low probability. As I mentioned, also, this is going to be a crazy tour. They're facing like extreme heat conditions in Europe right now. Some of the routes that they have selected are like wicked exposed. So these guys are just going to get cooked. And then they're just unrelenting mountain stages early in the tour, which tends to grind out a lot of the domestiques and the sprinters. And then the end of the tour, they have back-to-back days where they're finishing on the Alpe d'Huez, which is, of course, if you've ever seen the famous climb, it's 21 switchbacks up to the top of the mountain. And usually they do it once on the tour because it's the most famous climb on the Tour de France. They're doing it on stage 19 and stage 20. So they're making them do it twice, which is a little bit absurd. Ultimately, this is a huge step up in the total elevation climbed across the tour. It's going to be a grind for these guys this next 2 weeks.
They should mix this up and do it in the winter sometime. That'd be a lot more, be more entertaining to watch. Pogacar over at, Kalshi-Gil is -610 sports fan mode, -610 Pogacar to win the Tour de France.
That Tour de France aside we just did was worth it just for the sentence. Maybe the coolest sentence ever uttered on this show. Grinds out the domestiques. Love that. Grind out the domestiques.
Hey, Gil, I got trivia for you. Cycling trivia for you, okay? Because this blows my mind every time. Pogacar is the highest paid cyclist on the face of the earth. What is his base salary? Which I didn't even know was a thing. Guess what his base salary is.
I'd have no idea.
$8 million. He made $12 million last year cycling.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty impressive.
So that's like before all the Slovenian, that's before all the Slovenian donkey cheese advertisements he does. Yeah.
Good on him. All right. World Cup, Drew, final two places. We don't have to talk about Team USA if you don't want to. There are two games today.
Are we talking about Team USA?
We can. Okay, but before we do, do you have any plays in today's two games to determine the final two spots in the quarters?
I have Swiss to advance, and I have Argentina win to nil.
Argentina win to nil, Swiss to advance tonight. Okay, and you still have Argentina. Yeah. What was your bet on Argentina future? What was your future bet?
Biggest position for me is Argentina to reach final at +440. That got real squirrely against Cabo Verde. Yes, it felt like if that got to penalties, then Argentina was going home. I was sweating. Argentina, I still think, has some of the strongest attack and the second strongest defending among the World Cup teams to this point in the tournament. And I think they're going to grind Egypt. They're going to look like domestiques out there. Argentina is going to look like the class. So I think that one's, to me, looks like 2-0 Argentina. And then in the Swiss-Colombia match, my fare for Switzerland is... it's close to 50-50 with Colombia in this one, which is why I'm surprised you're getting a +125 to advance price right now. So this is going to be a pretty interesting match. I know Colombia has impressed statistically so far, but I think there are some questions in my head about the quality of competition they faced. And I think Switzerland's going to give them a very true test. Now, if Switzerland is unable to find the back of the net, which has been a problem for them this entire tournament, then this could get weird in extra time or in penalties. But I think Switzerland comes through, ekes this thing out like 1-0 in regulation.
Real quick, back to the tour, because Pogacar is such a big price to win it all. The Auburnist asks, any picks on stage betting, seeing each stage has a market in prediction markets as well?
Yeah. Stage six looks to me like a good stage for Pogacar to really push some distance and kind of pad his lead in the yellow jersey. So I would circle stage six for Pogacar to be your winner. When we get back together next week, and we know who has dropped out of the Tour de France, which I think is going to be a lot of riders who were expected to win those middle stages, which are, the sprint stages and the hill stages. Let's find some winners there, because like I said, like this, the Tour de France is always chaotic with people crashing and you know, kind of abandoning the tour. But this year in particular is going to be as chaotic as we've ever seen.
Sadly, I thought that would be the answer at this point in the tour. Okay. Let's give you a chance to give your postscript on Team USA in the World Cup.
Yeah. Wow. What was that? That was, you know, it was predictable in one sense, because it was like, as soon as Team USA goes up against the team with an organized attack, some of the shortcomings in our defending strategy were going to be exposed. And Belgium, of course, has an organized attack. And I think they caught us by surprise a little bit by, you know, kind of going with some of the B team early on, who were playing better than the legacy players, at least to this stage in the tournament. And we made some adjustments at the first pause of dehydration. Ultimately it was pretty unbelievably unimpressive from our defense and our goalkeeping in that match, particularly that gaffe that gave them the third goal and kind of ended the match. I don't really have a solid read on whether the Balogun stuff was a distraction and everybody was kind of ultimately, you know, kind of at a disadvantage from, you know, the 36 hours of chaos that ensued from, you know, getting the red card rescinded and all of the attention and questions about fairness and, you know, I don't know if that was a good excuse for how distracted and uninspiring the performance was, but to play that poorly and particularly on defense on, you know, on your home soil with that crowd support was super disappointing. And this was the best chance the U.S. was really ever going to have to make a deep run in a World Cup, and they blew it. So people should be pretty upset.
Best chance because it's on our home soil, because of the sort of the group this generation had, all those reasons.
Yeah. And the path they were afforded. I mean, Belgium, USA was the rightful favorite in that match. And I don't know that you're going to get a lot of other round of 16 matches where you're the rightful favorite from here going forward. So Belgium, I think, is a pretty soft out for Spain. Spain win to nil, Spain clean sheet, Spain advance, all value for me right now with my pricing. I'm kind of interested to see if France stubs their toe. They obviously were in a little bit of bother with the heat against Paraguay, and this is a tough draw against Morocco, who has some of the best young players in the world, particularly on defense. So I'm still in the camp of Spain likely the matchup on the top half against Argentina on the bottom, and I'm hopeful Argentina is able to win that one. But Spain's defense has been the most impressive unit on the field of any team to this point in the tournament, and you know what they say, Gil, defense wins World Cups.
That's what they say.
That's what they say, right?
Naomi Osaka up a break early against Karolina Muhova. Yes. Let's go. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it. Drew Dinsick, everybody. Mark Borchardt, MLB, next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is A Numbers Game, live from San Francisco, in my case. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in Las Vegas. At the mothership at Circuit Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. We get tweets beating the book. Brian Morianen, the closest Jesse, talking about Jesse Pegula, has probably ever gotten a flying commercial was either flying in a commercial or the team peons on the Bills team plane. It's probably true. Patrick Kelly, I miss a few days, come back. Gil's remote. Drew's won the worldwide Slovenian sports trivia championship. And Kelly, well, who knows what's going on in the studio? Yeah, these are a little different here. We'll be back in it. We'll be back together there in due time. Jason H11, new segment idea: Tour de France participant or Pokemon character? Because Drew could have been making up. It's like when we have Greg Peterson on, and I'm like, Abilene Christian, go.
Yeah,
and then he'll like spew out eight different guys who play for Abilene Christian. I'm like, he could be lying to me.
I'm pretty sure I learned something about the Tour de France every summer with Drew on.
Well, as you said off air, what's amazing is Drew bets everything.
Mm-hmm.
except for never. Well, not never, because he has a Dodgers futures every year, right? A Dodgers future ticket to win the World Series every year. Other than that, there's never a peep about baseball that comes out of this guy's mouth.
Yeah, like I've always known he doesn't bet baseball, but I don't know why it just dawned on me. But it's like he'll never bet baseball. There's always something going on in the summer between tennis, and then he's got Tour de France every year, obviously. But then whether it's Olympics or World Cup or something, he's always got something going on here.
Mm-hmm. So true. Do we have Mark Borchardt yet or no?
We do.
No Mark Borchardt? We do. Oh, Mark Borchardt joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at BaseWinner. BaseWinner.com, of course, is where he does his thing. That's who he is, BaseWinner. But we call him Mark. Mark Borchardt, courtesy, again, of the Progressive Guest Line, joins us now from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. What's happening, Mark?
Oh, I'm doing good. You know what? I just noticed how trim Kelly looks. Gosh, he's looking really lean. Gangsta lean, Kelly. Yeah, wow. I'm sorry. I haven't noticed. I just noticed that now. And I think you lost that weight. I remember you guys talking about it a few months back, actually.
Yeah. I appreciate that, Mark. Gil, I'm going to go off of this as me plugging the website last week. So reminder, go to basewinner.com to get the most up-to-date baseball betting information you could possibly get, okay?
You know what? I love it, Kelly. And I'm doing a post every Tuesday, so I can talk about maybe a little bit about the post, but we can talk about other things, Gil. It's your show. I don't want to hijack your show, but I did an update on July wins, and it's Whoa. Very interesting. Oh. And my picks are looking okay, but there's one there that looks kind of interesting.
And what would be the interesting one, if I might ask?
Well, I knew you were going to go there. But you know, the twins I'm showing at, they've got a 9-1 chance and they're 20-1. And then on my post last week, I think I had them at 90-1 or something, and they were getting 150-1. So they were part of this group bet that I made. And that's the one, and of course the Dodgers are showing pretty good. I mean, I don't know if you watched any of that game on Thursday, Gil, where they got down 6-0 and they ended up winning the game 12-7. And that just kind of goes to show you how deep that team is from a lineup standpoint. You know, I was looking at the nine guys in the lineup. They all had OPSs over outside of my range. It held a standard OPS is over 700, which I think that's pretty impressive, Gil.
What is your number on the Boston Red Sox, Mark? I dare ask. I'm asking.
It's like
3%.
So it's not showing good value, dude.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Boston Red Sox, 80-1. Let's get it done. Come on. 3-1 start. Rockies right now, Brewers and Dodgers all at 4-2, 4 wins out of the gate. Twins, Mariners, Orioles, Tigers, Red Sox all at 3-1 out of the gate in July. And of course, what's interesting about this month is we get a break after this week, right? So we get to sort of reassess the position here after the next 6 days. Headed into the All-Star break. By the way, Mark, you're an analytical guy. Remind me, do you bet the home run derby or the All-Star game? Do you touch any of that?
Well, we've had shows for the last 5 years, so I had to give out a play, and I've been very successful with it. So without getting all deep with it, basically the way I handicap it, I look for the best exit velocity versus off-speed pitching. And then it'll usually give you like maybe one favorite and a couple dogs, and then you can group them in a three man, you know, Dutch bet, if you will. And that's kind of how I play it. I don't think I hit it last year. I didn't hit it last year, but the previous, and I'm not making this up, the previous 5 years I hit it.
Wow.
Including with Teoscar 2 years ago. So it's fun. It's a good way, I think. And it makes sense logically if they can hit an off speed pitch and put good velocity on it. They've got a pretty good chance to hit home runs.
Mm-hmm.
The best exit velocity against off-speed pitching. Forget what I said earlier, Kelly. You should have Mark Borchardt on the show next week to talk about a home run derby.
We'll have him on. But yeah,
I will definitely do that. Plus, I think I'm thinking about doing the Base Winner Sabermetric All Stars. I think, I can promise that. It'll give me something to do. So,
okay.
I'll do like two starters from each league, and then the set three relievers, and then the actual starting nine. I'll do that.
Okay, well, now I will not be here next week, Mark, so I feel left out when you do that. Sabermetric All-Star is something Mark Borchardt and I have done for a decade and a half, which is essentially, how can I put this, Mark? You'll correct me if I'm wrong. Basically identifying the most underperforming and overperforming pitchers is how we did it in the past.
Exactly. What we did in the past is we'd look at the guy who like had the really good standard stats, you know, ERA. I don't even know. I think that's what people look at, right? And then if you compare it to the underlying stats, the strikeout percentage, walk percentage, ground ball rate, and then you'd have that. Then you'd have the other guy who had the high ERA, like a guy like probably, I'm just off the top of my head, Luzardo. He's got a high ERA, but really good underlying numbers. And that's kind of how we did it. It was fun. It was a fun exercise. Yeah, that was, you know, Gil, that was back in, I think, 2008, dude. Wow.
Some of the great names of the past that we identified. And then we would bet them in the second half or bet against it. It was so profitable. Derek Lowe comes to mind as one of the big names. Who was the dude I always – oh, Trevor Cahill was the – remember
Trevor Cahill? There's Trevor Cahill. There's Jeff – I think the guy's name was Jeff Locke. And there was an actor whose name was John Locke. And I got them all confused. Yeah.
Jeff Locke of the Pittsburgh Pirates, if I'm not mistaken. Was that Jeff Locke?
Yeah, you're right. What was his name? The first guy's first name. He did work at Veasan for a while. Josh Towers. I don't think we ever did him. I don't think he was ever on it. But no. I know we talked about it. I know we talked about him a lot when he was pitching. That was fun going on with him.
Yeah, totally. It's again, if you're a baseball hardo and you've lived most of your adult life staring at fan graphs, this will mean something to you. All right, what about today? Full slate of Major League Baseball. In fact, we have 16 games with a doubleheader in there. What did you land on?
You know, I wanted to talk about this because I've never seen it in my Sims, this big of a gap between the evaluation of starting pitching and batting is, I don't know if it's a gap or like, I want to talk about the Arizona Diamondbacks. The play is over 9 today. And there's a lot of things that go in component wise for this particular game, including an over umpire. But this is what was really interesting when I was running the simulations today. So I've got Arizona, the starting pitching, and it's been lousy. Gallen's pitching today. Kelly's been brutal. Even Erod, who's an all-star, doesn't really shake out. Maybe he's going to be the overrated guy in the Sabermetrics all-star team. You put it all together in the starting pitching rating, they are worst in baseball, Gil, by my numbers. And then you've got the offense, number 3 in baseball, and I think that's versus the particular split tonight, or that's actually a combined split tonight. They're facing a right hander. They're actually 4th, so that's pretty good. But I just thought that was really interesting as I did the simulations today, looking at that. You know, you have a top 5 offense, and then you've got the worst pitching. But it's rare that you'll see that with a team, Gil.
Okay. Anything else? Do we have a base winner parlay of the day? By any chance?
I got to do a base winner parlay. And you know what they say? Nobody beats the Miz, Gil. And I'm with you on his advanced stats. They're crazy. But not only are the advanced stats good, to the eye, it is just an amazing thing to watch how he's overpowering guys. He's throwing, you know, his first 6 pitches are in the 104, 105, 106. I think, and the rub on this is like, well, they're going to, you know, put him on the shelf a little bit, you know, you don't want to overwork him, but I don't think you can hold that back against a guy. Anyway, I have him today. I like the Brewers on, I did this last week, didn't work out for me good, but I like the Brewers on the run line as well. And then a parlay with the Brewers, and then Tarek Skubal. I like Detroit on the run line there, and they're about even money both teams. But if you just do a straight parlay with the Brewers and Detroit, it pays about plus 130. So I think that's pretty good value with those guys.
Okay, those are both run lines, or just the Detroit side?
Both teams are straight run line plays. I'll make that official. Okay. And then the parlay is just do it on the money line. I mean, you can do it just on the run line. And just the money line for show purposes. Kelly, you're writing that down? Yeah.
Got it.
It is. Hey, Mark, Kelly and I are going to do make miss playoffs in the AL and NL. Do you want to hang out with us for the next segment and do it with us?
I'd love to, but I'm on a hard out. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Fire commitments.
On a hard. The wife is calling. Coming back, Kelly and I will do
basically.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you are betting at Circus Sportsbook for a limited time, you can fund your wagers and contest entries with crypto using BurraPay. That's B-U-R-R-A, BurraPay, and pay no BurraPay transaction fees. It's fast, secure, and another way that Circa continues to innovate for sports bettors. Visit BurraPay.com to learn more and take advantage of fee-free crypto wagering before August 31st, exclusively at the Circa Sportsbook at Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. BurraPay transaction fees waived as part of the campaign. Standard cryptocurrency network and exchange fees may apply. Naomi Osaka and Carolina Muhova on serve in the first set, 4-4. It's a dogfight. And by the way, this is a tweet that I thought we'd get. Brian Moranian says, what could go wrong? Gil and Drew on the same tennis pick and Pogačar never crashed. I smell a live bet rolled over into a no bet. Yeah, I thought the same. I'm like, don't say Pogačar never crashed. Don't say that out loud. And then it happened. And then who knows what could happen?
Yeah.
It hasn't happened. Just to clarify. Okay, Kelly. Make miss playoffs. Did we have a bit of numbers game? What's the ruling on what just happened at the end of the last segment? It just occurred to me at the end of the segment. I was like, oh, we're doing this make miss playoffs. I can like invite Mark because we're doing it anyway.
Sure.
Does that count as the first ever on air decline of an invitation?
I think it does.
In the history of a numbers game?
I think it does. Might.
Yeah. Yeah. He had a hard out, man. I think Mark's wife was like, you got to go, man.
Mark's a popular guy. I'm big on our regular schedule. So you see the same numbers game guests, but I lock them in at the beginning of whatever season. I lock them into a day and time, and just it makes it easier on everybody. It's kind of the regular schedule, right? And Mark, also the first one in a while, Gil, that had to call an audible after setting his locked in time in the third hour. Had to tell me 8:30 was the latest he could go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
He's a busy man. Basewinner.com.
Busy man. Man's got things to do.
Yeah.
Let's talk about these make miss in Major League Baseball.
I'm going to jump the gun real quick, Gil, because I'm going to get this out of the way. You wanted to see a picture from the July 4th party. So there's like three of the four hardwood handicappers here at the network. We had the Shoemakers in town. There's Tyler in the middle. So Tyler is there. I got Kelly there, JVT. And Zach not pictured because he's in Arizona. But yeah, we had the Shoemaker brothers in town.
So I'm seeing this very small screen. That's you on the left. That's Tyler Shoemaker in the middle. And that's JVT on the right.
Yep.
Yes.
And I brought American headbands for everybody.
By the way, nice backyard. Very nice.
Right? Beautiful.
Very
house.
Nice. Absolutely. Kelly Bidlin, ladies and gentlemen. Svelte. Look at that kid. Yeah. Look at that kid. Good for you, man.
Thanks.
Man. How many pounds down are you now?
Oh, hold on. 115, 120.
Jeez.
Yeah, man.
That's it. Stop already. We don't want you to disappear.
Hey, man, as I'm texting with JVT right now, because JVT is actually at the store sending me the back of, what do they call it? Like the nutritional information, you know, the back. He's sending me pictures of protein shakes right now because he's, I don't know, comparing. That's where me and JVT are at in our lives.
Yeah, it's exciting conversations
it really,
you two have.
It really is.
It's very nice. A little make-miss playoffs for those betting these markets in the American League and National League as we approach the All-Star break, 6 days away from the All-Star break. Okay, we can flash these up on the screen. It's pretty interesting because when we do the simple exercise of asking people, hey, give me your six AL playoff teams, it is a very difficult conversation. Usually people come up with Yankees, Rays, and Mariners. And then after that, it's kind of a free-for-all because you don't know who's going to win the Central. Guardians, White Sox, who knows? Even the Twins are involved in that. Tigers would raise their hand and say they are too. And then the West is a free-for-all, right? Even if it's not the Mariners, is it the Rangers? Is it the Athletics? Is it the Astros? So many teams competing for this. And then you have a lot of teams in the East, right, who people believe are underperforming, like the Blue Jays and the Red Sox. So it is just a complete free-for-all. I will do this by FanGraphs projected final standings. How about that? We'll do it that way. And right now, the six American League playoff teams. Are you interested, Kelly?
Yeah.
You like to hear it?
Yeah, what's FanGraphs got?
FanGraphs has the Yankees, and the Rays in a dead heat atop the AL East at 89-73.
Okay.
So Yankees and Rays. The next best team in the American League is the Mariners. They would win the West at 86-76. So there are the three teams that we said at the beginning, people would spot you those three teams, right? In the quest to come up with six American League playoff teams. Yankees, Rays, whatever order, division winner, wild card, first wild card. Mariners win the West. After that, you go all the way down to 500. The Rangers at 81-81. Oh my God. Are the next best team in the American League. So they would win the number two wild card team. The Guardians win the AL Central at exactly 81-81. And the third and final wild card position goes to the White Sox at 80-82, edging out the Astros at 79-83. So when I said many times on this show, we could have a division, if not two, with a team with a losing record winning it, FanGraphs is telling us that the AL Central will be won by exactly a team at 500. Those are your six.
Yikes.
Now, if you look at the make-miss numbers in the American League,
yeah.
Guess what?
And what I did hear, Gil, on this graphic is this is kind of your wild card standings right now if you're watching it.
Yes.
So that this is really the wild card race with the three spots up top.
So it's exactly on par with what we just talked about, right? Yep. So the Yankees, Guardians, and Rangers, so they don't in the betting market, right? Because right now the Rays are in first in the AL, the White Sox are in first in the AL Central. Pardon me, AL East for the Rays, AL Central for the White Sox, AL West is the Mariners. So you see that the wild cards would be the Yankees, Guardians, and Rangers. But essentially the same six that I just cited in the FanGraphs projections are currently the six favorites, if you will, to get to the postseason of the betting market. On the outside looking in, the Astros are the closest, as I just talked about, at plus 150, yes. And then everybody else. So there you go. I mean, by the way, those projections that I just cited, that is epically bad.
Yeah,
that is so bad.
So you've got, just to give the prices on these other teams, the other three teams basically, right? White Sox minus 140 to make, which I think that makes sense, right? Would be a race with the Guardians we would expect here down the stretch. Rays minus 2,000, and then the Mariners minus 450. So those are the three other teams that are kind of locked in right now, division leaders right now. So Astros, Twins, a game and a half back. Then we dropped a 3.5 back with the Blue Jays. Red Sox, A's, 4 back. Any of those teams or somebody you've not even pictured, Gil, that you'd be interested in or best chance to get in the mix here, you think of that group?
Well, so I anticipated that question because that's what I was going to say anyway, that if you made me make a bet, I don't love any of the prices on the outside teams looking in. There's nothing that is so glaring that I'd like to play it. So if you made me, I would probably take a team like the Red Sox, who are 4 out in the wild card, and you get over $4 on them to make. And I'd probably take a flyer on that team. But guess what? I'm not running to do that either. So again, the exercise of I must take a team, that's who I would play to make. And then to miss, again, same thing. Like, I guess the Rangers would miss. I don't know. It's just there is no beautiful bet here on the AL side.
Yeah, even like the AL Central teams, right? It's like maybe you even want to play one of these teams to miss, thinking that, okay, whoever doesn't win the division, right, maybe gets caught in wild card and gets bounced. But I don't think the prices are attractive enough. Yeah, plus 165 on the Guardians, and it's even money on the White Sox.
NL, by the way, Dodgers win the West, Brewers win the Central. Braves beat the Phillies by 2 games in the East, 90-72 to 88-74. The three wild cards in the NL, according to the FanGraphs projections, are the Phillies 1, Cubs 2. You ready for this? Dead heat for 3 between the Pirates, Marlins, and Cardinals, all 83-79.
Wow.
So if you look at that, Pirates, yes, has the most incremental value at plus 265. Yes, as we talked about with Pythag and with sequencing, Pirates are one of the more underperforming teams thus far this year. So all of that makes sense. But But even plus 265 is like not super sexy, Kelly. Yeah, like, you know, it's you. Like,
yeah,
it's like, eh, okay, I'm going to wait 65, 70 games for a plus 265.
It does feel like, hey, correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I feels like we're just chasing this third spot right now in the wild card, right? Like Cubs, Phillies, yeah. Those teams feel in.
Nationals fans, you're not going to be happy to hear this, but their projected record ultimately at Fangraphs, 78-84. It's one system's projections, but just as sort of as a guide for us.
8-1 in the betting market. That tells you that too.
And like the Padres, are you kidding me? Stop it with the Padres. Coming back on A Numbers Game with Joe Sheehan and more